So the Tanakhama we learned yesterday, we'll follow Shita's Tosis today. Tanakhama says that these wild animals, Hari Elu Mu'adin, means that whatever would be considered to be a Karen in Shore is considered to be Shein, a Mu'ad, when it comes to these animals. That's what Tosis points out in Maschan Nachash. That's what Shmuel points out in Tezayim and Beis. That all of these wild animals also have urche and lav urche. And the Tanakhama says that if they are mazik in the fashion that a shor would be mazik in, so they would always be called shein, they would be muad. They also can damage in a strange way, and then they'd have the din of tam and the din of muad. Right, so again, as we pointed out yesterday, based on Shmuel, based on Tosfos, it is a recalibration of what's considered to be a muad, what's considered to be Karen. So Pashtus, that means that if you've domesticated these animals, if the B'nai Tarbus, so then they would be like a shor, and would have all the halachas of shor. So Eli was... question yesterday, why are we talking about domesticated wild animals? So in the time, I don't know if the Greeks or the Romans, I think both Greeks and the Romans, they did domesticate, they tried to domesticate snakes. That was very common because they used snakes to take care of their rodents. So it was not uncommon to have snakes around the house. They obviously were trying to get non-poisonous snakes around the house. So that's... in terms of domesticating lions and monkeys, monkeys were also very common, apparently. It was not uncommon. I forget if the Greeks, the Romans, would try to train monkeys to do things that human beings would otherwise do. Otherwise, it was not that common. But you have to remember that who had the gladiators, the Greeks, the Romans. So they would try to trap wild animals and then hold them for a while for the various shows. So it could be that that's what the Mishnayos are referring to, that it was something that was done. Rabbi Elazar Oimer b'zman shein b'nei tarbus. So if you domesticate them with the lashon of Rashi, shegidlon odom b'beisoy, that you bring them into your home. And the Rashi in Sanhedrin, his lashon is legadlon lefisha odom yochol lelamdom shelo yaziku. So Rabbi Elazar says that Bnei Tarbus are like a shor. But you should know that a nachash you're not going to be able to domesticate.
Right.
So the shor, the nachash is always going to be a mu'ud lo'olam. What's the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakhama? What's the machlokes? Tanakhama says, Zev Ariv Dov B'nei Bartolus, they are always, their normal activity will always be shamed. And the Rebbe Elazar says, no, if you're malamed them not to be mazik, you're malamed them not to have kavana lahazik, so then they will be like a shor. Nope, so what are they arguing about? Go ahead. So l'chayra, it would sound like the machlokes of whether you can domesticate or not. The mahalach in the yeshivas is not to try very, very hard not to be making a machlokes of machlokes in mitzias. Now, there's if it's a question of whether you can or cannot domesticate them, are they trainable? So l'chara, that's not a machlegis that should show up in the Mishnah as a machlegis hanam. That's pukhazi, go ahead, let's figure it out. What happens? Does it happen with significant frequency that we would say they can be domesticated? There is a Ramban and Chulin, which we'll learn next year in Teshem, whether if you have a machlegis in Mitzios that cannot be determined. Whatever reason, You can't either because you don't have a large enough pool to do to figure this out. You don't have a large enough, not enough experience. So can would there be such a machlokes? So even then, the mahalach in yeshivas is to say, and you have a sofek. Then we can agree. We should be able to agree as to whether we can prove something or not. That doesn't. Lachara, nowadays we can discuss that. Do we have a large enough pool to make a determination? So that's why we try very hard not to be makim a machlekes, to be a machlekes in mitzias, because mimanavshach, we should be able to either figure it out or we should be able to agree that we can't figure it out. That's sofik. So sofik in bum is usually mitzvah of varaya. A sofik in holding on to a mazik, Eli would say, if the sofik is in the mazik or not, so why are you taking chances? So l'chayra, we should steer away from saying that it's a machlekes in mitzia. So what else could it be? Go ahead.
Maybe it's machlekes in the sense that is there ever a situation where there's no shmira at all was possible? Tanakhama would say, yes, there are those kind of situations. Where Lezer would say, no, actually, even these kind of special situations, I can still say that there would be some kind of shmira possible.
You know, it was... So that would be a possibility based on Tosfos that says that B'nai Tarbus means it's in chains. So I thought that was also difficult to say, because if Rabbi Elazar is saying they are mu'odin because you can have them in chains, so then when are they going to be mazik? When they do their Houdini tricks? When I messed up and I didn't, I forgot to lock it. So then that's the beginning of the Tzakoinus. So that's a question of providing, can you provide enough Shmira? L'chor, that's the Machlech's beginning of Tzakoinus. So that's why I wanted to stay away from that. No any other suggestions. What could the Machlech's be? What do you mean?
The Chum could hold it. The animals are able to be domesticated, but it doesn't make a difference in terms of the stomachs. Does. Not arguing whether or not they can be domesticated, arguing whether that's relevant or not.
So, but I understand, how could you explain that that domestication should be irrelevant?
Because the Chum think that the very nature of these animals is that whether they're domesticated or whether they're not, they're still susceptible to damage easily.
To be mazik.
Yeah.
So in other words, you're saying the Ramban. You're saying that we will never really know whether we can excise the tzad mazik out of an animal. We will never really figure this out. So maybe we could articulate that idea al pidin. We do know from later mishnayos that there is a way of taking the mu'ad status away from Ashur. Right? Chazal the Tamusa. There are several Mishnayas. An animal became a mu'ad. How did it become a mu'ad? It gored three shvarim, one bang, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, if Thursday, Friday, Shabbos pass by, and it watches Ashur pass by, and it doesn't gore, Chazal the Tamusa. Many, many Mishnayas, the end of... In the fourth parak, Shoshanagach Dalav Hei, that discuss different situations. It gored on the three Shabbosais. So then you have to make sure if it's only a chazal tumosai if it doesn't gore on three Shabbosais. Gemara talks about if it gored on a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, did it become a mu'ud l'Shabbosais? Or did it become a mu'ud for every day of the week? How do you figure that out? How do you look at the pattern? So the Gemara has several situations of where we're trying to figure out the pattern so that we can determine, is it a mu'ud for a pattern, and how do we unravel that mu'ud? But the halacha is, Mishnayos say, there is a way of chozal l'tamusa. Just because it's a mu'ud does not mean it's a mu'ud l'oilam. All right? So perhaps the machlekes of here is, how do you understand chazal tumusai? How do you understand the din? The Mishnah does say that you can have an animal that is al pi din, a wild animal, it's a mu'ad lahazik, it has kavana lahazik, then al pi din it requires a shmira machlaikis, chusa ma'ula, but it requires the shmira of a mu'ad. And the Gemara and the Mishnah says there's no question that this animal can do tshuva. There's no question this animal can be chayzer l'tamusa. So maybe the question that Tanakama and Rabbi El-Ozer are discussing is, how does the Gemara understand chayzer l'tamusa? There is a question, I hope we'll get to it, about what is the nature of becoming a mu'ad. Is a mu'ad megala or is a mu'ad keveya? In other words, is the mu'ad, we say that the animal's a mu'ad. Are we saying, oh, we now know the teva of this animal? It so happened that for the first 400 Shabbosos of its life, it never got a chance to gore ashore. Now, Tom Shin Ayin Tess, it finally got its chance, Shabbos to gore ashore. So now we know this animal is a wild animal. It's a shore that's mu'ad lahazik shvarim. We didn't know before. We didn't know either because it never got upset before, right? Or it never had the opportunity, whatever it was. But it was always a shore, a mu'ad kashor. It's megalativa. Or do we say, no, the Torah is telling us is that it was a tame shore. But now it has become a wild shore. Machlokes amongst the Achrayim, how to learn pshat and mu'ad. Machlokes in general, I think we discussed it. At the beginning of the year, we discussed a little bit about how that plays into the chezkas sholish pa'amin bechlal. So now let's go a step further. So what's pshat in chazal tamusai? If you hold that becoming a mu'ad means that you've changed the nature of the shore, so chazal tamusa either means you made a mistake, error, or changing back again. Right? If you hold that becoming a mu'ad means you megala tiva shel shore, then chazal tamusa certainly means that we made a mistake in our assessment of it being a mu'ad, right? So l'chayra chazal tumusa can be one of two things. It could be a retraction. We thought we were mevarer, and now we're being explained, we're understanding now the whatever it was, that's how it always works. And whenever you want to establish something, whenever you're trying to figure something out, so you take a number of occurrences, a certain pool of samples, and you always run the risk of making a mistake. Later experiments determine whether you made a mistake or not. That's it's always that kind of scientific method, trying to figure something out, use experiments, and then you continue doing more and more experiments to see whether the first few experiments were a fluke or not a fluke. So you get more and more information. So that's always determining whether my first determination was what Halacha did tell me to do, but now I understand better. I arrive. You can have a rive, and then as you get more and more numbers, your rive could change. So that is being megala to us that our first rive was a fluke; it wasn't a real rive, right? So chazal tumusai, if you hold that becoming a mu'ad is megala teva then lachayra, chazal tumusai means I'm re-understanding what I thought. I'm unraveling. I'm dismantling my understanding of the mu'ad. Right? It was really never a wild shore. It was a tame shore that had a bad kufa, had a bad time, had a difficult. But now it's enough therapy. We got it, and it's back to being a tam. Right? That could be. Or do we say that chazal tumusai means the nechanami? It was a tame shore. It was a wild shore. Now it's another tame shore, right? Chaz means it's going through different statuses, and we don't say that a shore has a specific nature. But we're in kaveya. So now let's understand. If chazal tumusai means that I had a wild shore, and now it's no longer a wild shore, that means halacha does respect that I can change the teva of an animal. If becoming a mu'ud means that it's a wild animal, then a chazal tumusai means halacha says, yeah, you can have a wild animal, it can be changed. You can make it into a bent arbus again. On the other hand, if chazal tumusai means that I'm saying my previous understanding was a mistaken understanding, it means halacha doesn't really respect the idea of changing the nature of a shore. So then there certainly is no basis for any tana to say that I can train a wild animal. I may fool myself into thinking it's an animal, but it's not really happening. So l'chayra we could say, again, the question is, I have a machlokes in the Mishnah. I think I've trained my lion, right? I did it against all suggestions, against all prognoses. I think I've trained my wild animal, right? But no, what happens is one day the lion goes out and so machloek is between the Tana Kam and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, you did train the animal, and what it did just now, that's strange. That it went and go, that it did the equivalent of a that did a negifa. Can't do negifa because they didn't have horns, but it did a negifa. Right. So now you have an ari tam, ari bentarbus tam, chazinezim. And Tanakama says, no. That ari did a, that was urchel azik. So what's the machlaikis? So L'chorek, and you could say some machlokes in mitzvahs. There are situations like that. But if we try to take the approach, then why would there be a machlokes in mitzvahs? Either evaluate it or call it a sofek, so it means that it must be machlokes in din. So Daniel said, well, maybe the machlokes is whether halacha respects the concept of training a shor, training an anari. So L'chorek, that could be the machlokes. That their machlekes could be in what is the understanding of chazal tumusai. There is a halacha deiraisa, helyois, that an animal becomes a muad, and becoming a muad is the source for hilchas chazaka. So the Gemara says that if that's the case, then you have to be able to unravel the chazaka. It's just vaytra chazaka. One chazaka is chazaka, then a chazaka ilam is. So I have a din deiraisa of chazal tumusai. No, what's that din deiraisa of chazal tumusai? Is that din deiraisa of chazal tumusai? It doesn't mean I'm being megala, that my ha'odah was a faulty ha'odah. So that means there is no such din in halacha that I would have a din. Doesn't mean there couldn't be, but l'chara, there's no precedent for saying that I can tame anything, even a wild shore. On the other hand, if I say that chazal tumusai means I can change the nature of a shor muad, so then it stands to reason, and it's not mukhrif by any means, but it stands to reason that I should be able to change the nature of the ari. So l'charid could be what we're suggesting is, hey yois, we have in the mishnayos the concept of making something a ben tarbus that wasn't a ben tarbus. A bentarbus, meaning that trainings, so whether that, and so that exists, there is the idea of making a shor mu'ud into a bentarbus. That's in the Mishnayos. So what I'm suggesting is the machloikis between Rav Elazar and Tanakama is, how do you understand that bentarbus? And does that bentarbus relate to our sugya? So Rav Elazar says, well, if I can do a bentarbus out of a shor mu'ud, you can argue alpi svara, whether it makes more or less sense. But it certainly could be, stands to reason, that Rabbi Elazar is learning pshat in, there is a way of making it to bent arbus. Nachash is not needing to be making the bent harvest. That's never. That'll always be. That will always be a mistake if you think that you've trained your nachash. But other things, it's indeed nita. And Tanakama would say, no, you can't. It's apples and oranges. All right. So that could be a hezber for the machlekes. So see, that's borne out by Rashi in Sanhedrin. Difficult Rashi, but nevertheless borne out by Rashi in Sanhedrin. That's Omer base. Yeah. So we'll look at this more carefully in a moment. But just in case I lose you before we do that. So Omer Shlokish Vahu Shei Misai Avaloye Misai Loi. And Shlokish says that I can, that the anybody can kill anybody else's domesticated lion. Reuven thinks he's domesticating his lion. So Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin says, Afal Pikin, Shimon can kill it. So Rish Lakish says, whoa, you can't just walk in and kill a guy's domesticated lion. If that domesticated lion killed, then by all means. So Rashi says on this Rish Lakish, we'll put it into context in a few minutes. Yeshlin Tarbus. Mutar le Gadlan. Why Levisha Odom Yochel Lamnu Shal Yaziku? Hilchach Shein Vailam Nikra Lein Vilavik Efker. Vosila Horgonim Lehim Misa. Vilam Misa. Soifa Mechiach Atilasan Shle Eilu Bene Tarbus. He says that they ended up killing, so then it means that you didn't, that you got it wrong. You're megala that you got it wrong. You thought it was a bentarvus, it's a bentarvus. So look at this, it's a very difficult Rashi. We'll explain in a moment. But what we're pointing out is that svara, that there, the chazal letamusai means we made a mistake. And therefore, and the mu'ad was never really a mu'ad. So we're suggesting, so therefore there is no real precedent for chazal to musa and change the teva of a wild animal. All right? So that's the first to what we're saying is this would be a possible machlekes, a possible understanding. In the machlekes Tanakam of Elazar, might be a machlekes in understanding what is chazal letamusay. Go ahead, Zev.
So, how could we even suggest that chazal letamusay is not focused in the Mishnah on Tetzvav and Kam? Meaning, don't we know? If I understand correctly, chazal letamusay is where it started off as a tam, it became white, then it went back to being a tam.
Correct.
But for meaning, there wouldn't be chazal letamusay for Shane and Rego. Or
Seven,
Ari, and Bartolos are all born as a
Mu'ah.
So why would you be able to say
Chozal Tamusa? So that's what I was saying. It's not Mukhrach, and it's not a perfect fit. I agree with you. But I could argue the exact opposite. I could argue that if an animal was Misgaber Al-Tivoy and became a Mu'ad, so that's going to be harder to retrain that animal. What do we know? At the end of the day, we are trying to create hezberim for that which we don't really have a good idea anyways, right? So what you're saying is correct. I'm just go ahead.
Besides for the training, meaning the Marin that are arguing about Chozal Tamuso, is not, they're not referring to animals that already started off as Mu'ah.
They are referring to animals.
I mean, aren't they referring to animals that
start off
at the time became a
mu'ad,
and then
they're... Correct. We're saying it's correct. But it's still correct to say that chazal tumusai is addressing an animal that is now a wild animal. Right? An animal that is a shor mu'ad. So that's correct. It's correct to say that chazal tumusai is it... Now, you're saying it's a shor mu'ad with a history. And this is different. Maskim. Is it mukhrach? Not mukhrach. Correct. But however, what is accurate is I have a machlokes tanorim. I don't think it's correct to say some machlokes in mitzias. I think that it's logically correct to say it's a machlokes as to whether halacha respects the domestication. In other words, we have limited alternatives. Assuming that domestication is a provable fact. Assuming that domestication is not, we're not arguing whether you can or cannot domesticate. Right? Otherwise, there should be machlokes. So that means there must be domestication of some sort. Right? So now, the question is, does halacha recognize domestication? So l'chara, I'm saying, well, it does recognize. Chazal to Musa. So now you can say what you're saying. That's only a chazal to Musa in a certain context. I'm saying the same thing, just give a little bit of nusach, different nusach. We're not saying that much different.
So right? According to...
In other words, Daniel would say the same thing you're saying. I just look one step further. There is domestication in halacha. It's called chazal to Musa. So now, is chazal to Musa the same thing as recognizing domestication in a wild animal? That's where, so I'm just taking it one step further. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. I'm saying that depends on how you understand the chazal to Musa in the case of Sharmua. Right? So I think we're all agreeing. Go ahead.
So according to Rabbi Eliezer,
Rabbi Elazar. In this particular suya, you have to be careful. Because,
right.
Okay? Otherwise, it's good.
I'm not
the guy who corrects the Baal Kari, but in this case, it's not that guy. But in this case, you have to go. Go ahead.
So, Rabbi Elazar apparently holds that you'd be able to have an animal that's Mu'ad Hashain and then become Chozal Tan Musa and not be Mu'ad
Hashain. It's an interesting question. I would think that it might depend on this machlokes, yeah. All right. Now, let's say I have an animal. That's what Zev is suggesting. I have an animal, and I take it in the street day in and day out, and every day it passes by my 10 fruit stands. Doesn't loaned laklo, right? Lo nira lo, and it goes. So, have I created have I demuadized it? From eating fruit b'shus rabbim.
That's a machlokes.
Was that?
That's a machlokes, like we said.
Like
you say it's
going to,
you're able to change
the
nature.
But, right, I'm agreeing with Meir that I think that could be this machlokes over here. That could be the same machlokes as the Meir, as the Veloz and the Chachamim.
So if it's one time by Shane, would that be Karen? Meaning we can pay Chatzin as for a time, but only time by Shane.
So it's a little bit speculative. We should be looking around to see whether it's discussed or not. Right? But Lanius Daiti, unless we maybe we'll find maybe we'll, I'll be embarrassed and it's a Mefurish Halacha Shulchan Aruch. But L'chaira we're saying it would be based on this Machlokes, and correct. And if you hold that. If you hold that it's possible, then it would become a tam legabe, and it would become an unusual activity for it to have fruit for the first three times. Yeah.
How does this affect the Elazar's understanding of the nachash? Meaning, is the nachash something that can be trained, but we don't care about it, or we're saying it can't be trained?
So lechora, it's that the Gemara was being, everybody was maskim. That this is not, that B'mtzius is not trained. That could be Dinah B'mtzius. Because no machlokes about it.
But it can't just be that it can be trained, or we just don't care. It's too dangerous.
So it would be hard to explain that we would say that Lagabi the Nachash, not Lagabi the Ari. Because Lachara, I mean, it could be that we don't know enough of the B'mtzius. But l'chara, if you're going to say that something is too dangerous, so then why would you choose the nachash of the ari?
So maybe instead of using the word too dangerous, I would say too difficult to protect. Even, I don't know.
It could it's more mitzias. I think it could be mitzias. It could be. Once there's no machlokes, No. So then why should you say that? Maybe it is just a description of what the Matthias is. Maybe ask him to that. Mayor, go ahead.
According to Tosos' second answer.
Hold on, we're not there yet. Okay. Right? You mean in Dibur Maskil, maybe Elazar.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, we'll get to it. Did you say it before?
Right,
good, okay. So that's Adkan, right? Adkan, we have a Machlaik as well as a Chachamim, and a Hezber that is based on how we understand the event of Chazal Latumusa. Tosfos now raises the following question. Tosfos says, Tema, Dibiresh Perakamudis and Edrin, Tanan. We have a Mishnah beginning of the opening Mishnah of Sanhedrin. Beis of an Aleph. The opening Mishnah of Sanhedrin is a long Mishnah that describes the different kinds of Batei Dinim that we have. We have a Beis Din of 3, of 23, of 71. And when you would require a Beis Din of 3, when 23, and when 71. So the Gemara says that when it comes to a Dinei Nefashos, a person is, Rachman al Zalman, brought to Beis Din on a capital offense, so you need to have a Beis Din of 23. You need to have a Roiv of at least 2. So Gemara says, so for example, a roiv v'anira bestiality be'esrim u'shloisha, shenemar v'haragta se'isha v'es ha'behema, v'oimers v'es ha'behema ta'arayga. That means both to determine the death penalty for the person involved, as well as the death penalty for the animal, requires a basin of 23. Shara niskal, a shore that gored a human being. Shara muad, that gored a human being. Salach is human being makes kofir. We also kill the shore. So we apply the halachas of capital punishment to the shore. We require a Beis Din of 23, determining that this shore requiring two Adam. I don't know if requiring two Adam, probably they grill the Adam. And then based on their testimony, they probably do not require the Drish of Chakira, because Drish of Chakira comes from the din of Vishoftu Aida, Vitzilo Aida. So it probably doesn't require the Drish of Chakira. Shenema Varaktis Sharan Niskal, Vesu Mishloisha, Shenema Vashor Yisakel Vagambo, Love You Must, Kemisas Balim Kachmisas Ashor. So it requires 23. Hazeiv Ari Hadova Number of Artilis Hanochosh, the same Hebrew we have in our Mishnah. Misosan Besrim Vishloisha. Also, get killed after a Psak Din of 23. Alright? That's the line we need to study. Hazeiv Ari Hadova Number of Artilis Hanochosh. Misosan Besrim Ushloisha. A Beis Din of 23. Eliezer Raimer Kol HaKoidem LaHorgon Zocha. Eliezer says it's the first guy in there. Is Zocha. Rabbi Akiva Raimer Misosin Be'esrim V'Shloisha. Gemara says Rabbi Akiva is being Cholik on the Din of Nochash. Tanakam held Nochash requires Esrim V'Shloisha. Rabbi Akiva says does not require Esrim V'Shloisha. Gemara explains on this Mishnah, the Esrim Vishloisha for the Zev Ari Dov Nomer Abaroth Manochash. What's the Machlekes Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer? Mara says, Omer Shlokish, Fushe Misai, Avalei Misaloi, Rabbi Yechin Omer. Af al pi shaloi himisa. Right? Person owns, he got somehow a lion cub, a little lion cub. He thought it was a cat, right? And after a while, he turns out to be a lion. So, as a nochash, he wants to get rid of all the rodents. And his neighbors are not excited about having a lion next door. So, Gemara says, Machlekes Meshlokesh Rabbi Yochanan and what the Mishnah said. According to Rabbi Yochanan, my neighbor has a lion. I go to Beis Din. And I get a Beis Din of 23. And I say, let's get rid of this lion. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, no Beis Din. It's a Ovid Inish Dilan Avshay. Go next door. Kol HaKadim Zachar. According to Rish Lakish, nothing, what I just said is totally out of order. He has a lion cub. He didn't take a lion cub. It's not bothering anybody. Right? He has a snake next door. Not bothering anybody. Right? You don't like it, you got to move. Right? You don't get much for your house, but you got to move. Now, if Rachmana Litzlan, his lion, kills somebody, who shei b'yisai? Oh, now we have the Torah. Now we get the Beis Din of 23 together. Now it's a Shar Nisqa. Now Rabbi Loza says, what are you waiting for our Beis Din? Just take it out. Eliminate it. Right? So Machloikis, Rabbi Yechner Mishlokish, what was this Mishnah all about? The Mishnah that said, Misosan Besim Mishloisham. So Rabbi Yechanan says, the moment he comes home with his pet cub, you take him to Beis Din. The moment he comes back from his safari with his live lion, you go to Beis Din. And Rabbi Eliezer, no Beis Din. You go to you just hire somebody to take it out. And Rabbi Yechanan says that this is referring to the din of Shar Nisqal. It killed. So by Shar Nisqal, has to be a Mu'ad. These are Mu'ad mitchilasam. So this, Zev Ari Dov Narvadalis Vanachash. Gemara explains what is at the heart of the machlokes between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. Omer Rish Lakish. Didn't kill anybody, just leave it alone. That means that they are domesticable. You can make them, you can domesticate them. That's Mishlokish's pshat in the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein lem tarbus. They cannot be domesticated. Ve'ein lem balim. And they can't be domesticated. They are ownerless. They are hefker. Tenan, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Kol HaKodem LeHorgon Zocha. Bishlom Rabbi Yechanan Lamai Zocha Zocha LeOiron. What does it mean when he says Kol HaKodem Zocha? So Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yechanan, who holds that they are hefker, there is no such thing as owning a wild animal. No such thing. It's hefker. Get rid of it. Anybody can take it on because it's a mazik. It's a reinef. Say limb by limb. So kol hakodem zocha means it's a hefkerik animal. Now it's dead. Now it's not hefker anymore. Who owns the animal? So the killer owns the animal. He wants to have a nice lion hide, a tiger hide. He wants to have one of those things hanging on the wall. What are they called?
Pelt.
With that?
Pelt.
No, one of the heads hangs on the wall with get him stuffed by somebody. So so he wants to have that. He gets it. Zochel Aaron. It's his. Right? That's Pshat Kol HaKodem Zocha. El Rish Lakish Lamai Zocha. What do you mean? According to Rish Lakish, it was domesticated. It went wild. It now suffers the death penalty. You don't need a basin for this death penalty. So lemay zocha, kevon she misoi shavinu rabbonon kemande gomer dinayu veisra no ninu. My zocha zochus mais even more so. According to Rish Lakish, what's pshat that I need a Beis Din? So Rish Lakish says, this is the din of Shar Nisqal. Had a wild animal. According to Rish Lakish, I domesticated it successfully. That's what Rashi says, not so. And now it killed. So if it was a shor, I need to have a beis din. So Rabbi Eliezer says, if it was a shor, I needed a beis din. But it's not a shor. It's a lion. I don't need a beis din. It's ke'ilu shavinu rabbonon, chazal. Chazal said it's ki'ilu, it's a shor niskal. The din of shor niskal is that the animal is osir behanor. So Chazal said this is a shor niskal without a beis din. Osir behanor. Nu mai zoche? So lech shemai, because Baruch Hu gives you yer shekayach. Because you took out a raider from us. Alright? So again, so what do we, so now we just switch channels for a moment. We look at the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. Mishnah and Sanhedrin says, Zev, Nomer, Bartles, right? The five wild animals, six wild animals. The Mishnah says that Machlaikis, if it requires a basin to kill it. The Gemara explained to us that there's a Machlaikis as to what we're talking about. We could be talking about a case where the halacha says, like Eli was saying yesterday, this is not supposed to be happening. There's not supposed to be a zev or a number next door. The guy buys it; it is hefker right away. There's no such thing as ownership over it. No bailus. There's no b'nei tarbus. Right? Nothing. It is a it's a roidev. Just get rid of it. That's Rabbi Yechanan's shot. El Rabbi Yechanan says. Beis din. He did Beis din. And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer is chilek in the Tanakhama and says you don't need a Beis din. And it was Hefker, still Hefker, you get it. Rabbi Shlokish learned Pshat that they are all seemingly open to being domesticated. You have no right. It has a baal. It is kilo ben tarbus. If it kills, then there's a machlekes whether it's a shor that killed. Elamaydim doesn't require to be a muad. Go to beis din, has a locha beis din, or whether you act like the beis din and had a baal because it was domesticated. The machlekes whether it's. I'm ready if you're not right now. You go in and take it out of the base, take it out. Okay, so that's the machlekes. Okay? Good. So that's the machlekes, tanorm. So, Arctosvis says, Tema, the Resh Perek comes in Edrin, Tanan, we have this Mishnah. And there, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol Arkoidim Largo Yizocha. And Rabbi Yechanan says, even if it didn't kill, so that means that Rabbi Lezer certainly holds it cannot be domesticated. Veilim, veilim. So the easy answer is take the yud out, Rabbi Lezer. The easy answer is Rabbi Lezer, Belozer. So now we have three shitas, right? We have the Tanakhama that says it cannot be domesticated. We have our Rabbi Elazar that says it can be domesticated. Right? And we have the Tana in the Tanakhama in the Mishnah in let's make it easier. And we have Rabbi Yechanan who holds that the Tanoim in Sanhedrin hold, it can be domesticated. Ad kirei kach, that if it kills, it gets the full rights of a domesticated animal. So Rabbi Yechanan would say the Tanakam of our Mishnah and the Tanoim in Sanhedrin are all in sync. And then Rabbi Elazar says, no. Other way around. The Tanoim in Sanhedrin are Rabbi Elazar. It can be domesticated. And the Tan of our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, But wolves that cannot be domesticated is another shita. That's what the that's how the first day of Tosfos. Then Tosfos says, but there could be another way to explain, because it still would be difficult what you do with the Nachash. Why is that? Because according to Rosh Lakish, the snake is domesticable. You can domesticate a snake. Right? Because Rosh Lakish says that even the snake, you only kill it if it's killed. If it killed. That means if it didn't kill you, it's okay. It's good. It's a bent harvest. So Tosfos says, no matter what you do, switch around the names you want. Our Mishnah says, a Nachash can never be domesticated. Rosh Lakish says it can, Rosh Lakish says it's an Amor, and then a Tana. So how can Rosh Lakish argue on the in our Mishnah? So therefore, that leads Tosfos to say that you have to have a different shot. Different mitzias. The mitzias in Sanhedrin is a chained animal. Our Gemara, our Mishnah is talking about an animal that was domesticated. So our Gemara says a nachash, unless you put it in chains, put it in a box, lock the box, can't be domesticated. Different mitzias. V'od yish l'chalik, or it could be that one can domesticate an animal with respect to hezek, and one can question whether you can domesticate an animal with respect to hezek, or whether you can domesticate an animal with respect to ritzicha. Maybe it's two different parashas. The inyan meziko l'shan z'shalom meloi behol le'ari midei. Right? So again, what's the second? First teretz of the Mishnah is different mitzvahs. The Mishnah's in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which seems to say that everything can be domesticated according to Rish Lakish. That means anything can be put into chain. Anything can be locked in a box. Okay. Then we go on to talk about whether it's a ben tarvis, taking Rish Lakish. It is a ben taros. Our Mishnah is saying, so we're not talking about a lockbox or chains. All right. Second teretz of Tosfos is that our Mishnah is saying, when it comes, our Mishnah is discussing whether you can domesticate a wild animal so that it won't be mazik. Sanhedrin is talking about, can you domesticate a wild animal so it won't kill? All right? Adkan. Good. Questions? Go ahead. Yaakov. According to Rabbi Yechanan, would he have to pay kofar? That's what you're asking. Potter. So it would seem from our Gemara in Le'mem Testament Dalit that a Baal Chaya also has to pay kofar. Our Gemara doesn't distinguish. So I'm not sure.
So if he's chayav and kofar, so how can we say that whoever kills it would be zocha to the...
Yeah. Okay, again, it doesn't... I'm not sure. I would assume that he doesn't pay kofar. If he does pay kofar, it wouldn't bother me. It would just be a chayav of shmira. The Meiri and the Yad Ramah asked that question. They ask a little bit differently. They both ask if the halacha is Eila Balim, so how could Rabbi Yechanan ever say, again, just it's almost the same question, almost the same question that you're asking. We'll come back to your question in a moment. Me'iri and the Yad Ramah and Sanhedrin say, according to Rabbi Yechanan, Eila Balim, how could our Mishnah say that there would be situations of your chayiv hezek? Right? Our Mishnah says, questions whether it's a mood or not a mood. Right? But there's no question your chayiv. So the Meiri and the Yad Ramah say, how could they be chayiv? So both say an amazing chiddush, and that is that their chayiv he didn't bore. What's the Shabbat he didn't bore? Was that? Exactly, right, exactly. Right? That Meikir, then they're not, you're not, you don't own it. But Chazra l'Rashusan, Kedei l'Chayiv. Achreinim raised questions, why did it say bore, why didn't it say yesh? But it's because of what Dani's saying. That the with the Meiri and the Yad Ramor is saying is that when the Torah was mechadish, that I have to take responsibilities beyond my legal title. So then they're saying that it's be din bor. So then, I'm trying to remember who discusses this. Your question. I think it may be Rav David Pomaraski. I don't remember. He asks your question, well, how could the Meiri say that there's a, that it's begin bor, l'chorva, there's no koifer in bor. So he leaves that as a, I think maybe it was a or the brisker rub, I'm not sure. So I'm not sure how to answer that question. But l'chorva, what you're really asking, in other words, can there be achrayus beyond Bailus, right? So that Nakuda, the Meiri and the Yad Ramah said, be learned from Bor, that it's not limited to Bor. I don't know the next question. Does that apply to Kofer? Not sure.
Will we only be able to say that if the Mechayev is Shmira, not Mamun?
So I'm not sure. L'chor, what you're saying is correct. What you're saying is correct. Go ahead.
According to our Yerushalayim, why would those animals be brought to a basin of 23 if it's Mamon Chai and they didn't do anything yet? It's not a case of Mufashos.
Yeah, okay, good. So let's just follow up and listen to Kuna. So according to Yerushalayim, my neighbor buys an RV, right? And he has a professional trainer, and he gets all the haskamas from the Department of Health, maybe, I don't know. So that this animal is domesticated, right? So, and it's minding its own business. So Rabbi Yochanan says that it's lav b'nei tarbus. So you're just saying, why would I ever say it requires a basin of 23? Like, and let's say, explain what you're just saying. What's Yehuda's point? Yehuda's point is the following: there could be two ways to explain why we're killing this animal, right? One way is call a megadol kelev rabesoich beisei lo yisosun dam beisecha, right? So if you have a roof without a fence in your house, so you have a chiv to fix it up. My chiv is to stay out of your house. I have no chiv to fix up your deck. Correct? If I fix up your deck, Gemara says you could penalize me because I took away your mitzvah. Gemara later on in Chayvon, like, you charge me 10 zuvim. If I am upset about the fact that you have no mak in your gag, so stay out of your gag, right? Don't accept the invitation for Kiddush. Stay home, right? It's my. On the other hand, right? Gemara is a Kiddush now. You have a line coming in your backyard. You have it fenced in. So Rabbi Yechina says, sorry. I can take it out, right? Eliezer says, I can take it up by myself. Rabbi Yochanan says, you need a basin of 23. So you're just saying, Mechatesa. If you hold like Rish Lakish that it killed, okay, I understand. Sharan Diskal, a Parshan Chumash, you're killing an animal because it's a mazik, it's like, doesn't really deserve to die on its own. It's tamed, it's tranquilized, it's but it went crazy, okay? So now I need a basin of 23 to determine that, right? But according to Yechanan, I'm killing the animal before it killed. So the only possible reason to kill the animals, they saw some dumb and beisecha. So why am I taking this animal out? Why I based it? What's the base going to sit and determine? It is lying, not a lie. Were they going to be able to figure out? Is it good chains, not chains? No. It's a good kasha, no. Even this is really the kasha on the Rashi a few minutes ago. Rashi says, according to Rish Lakish, Yesh L'Targus. Yesh L'Targus means Mutar L'Gadlon. Rashi says, like Eli was saying, Ein Lem Targus, Osur L'Gadlon. Levisha Odom Yochel L'Lamdom Shal Yaziku. Tilchach Shein Bailim Nikra Leyen V'Lehavi Kefker. The also lahargon im layemisay. I will live a miso soifon mechiach al tchilosa. Shaloi elu b'nei tarbus. Ve'ein tzrichen ladunon. Ein tzrichen. I don't need a din terror for this. Right? Soifon mechiach al tchilosa shaloi elu b'nei tarbus. It was Megala, that's Rabbi Eliezer's din. It was Megala that it was a wild lamb to begin with. I don't need a basin for that. That's Yehuda's question. Vein Tzerech L'Dunan. Only Yehuda's question is even stronger. Yehuda's saying, all right, so the machleik is between Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakhama, according to Rish Lakish, is the question we said before. Domesticating a wild animal. Chozla is the din of chozla to Musa. Is it that it's being established as a tame animal? Or is it being megala that we made a mistake? So, how do you understand that pshat? That's the machlekes over here. Is when the wild animal that was domesticated now becomes wild again. Is it a new kvias? No, then it's a shore. It has all the shore in Yiskal. Or Rabbi Eliezer says that no, it's the process over here is being megalitas that we never really domesticated. It was always a wild animal. Big kasha, that was the Rav's kasha, and this is that the Gemara says that it is, the Gemara says that according to Rish Lakish, it'll become osur b'hanor, even if it doesn't matter, taken out by one or by 23. So, according to this Rashi, it was never, it was always a wild animal. It never had a baal. It doesn't require a beza. So why should it have the din of Shor Niska? Yehuda's question is on Rabbi Yechanan. According to Rabbi Yechanan, that it's not a ben tarvis. It doesn't have a baal. So, and it hasn't killed. So why would it require a bezin of 23, according to the Tanakhama? So I think the answer is the following. What is the basis for killing the animal that never killed? So what do you call that? A rodev. So the Rambam writes, we learned this in Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes, it's a very fascinating lashon. In Hilchos Raitseyach. Yeah. The Rambam says, "Kol ha'hirig nefesh ben adam ayvir b'lay sase shem leisir tzach." Next halacha, mitzvah biyala goyel adam to kill the murderer. Listen, listen to the Rambam. If the goyel adam doesn't want to kill the murderer, or he isn't able to, or there's no goyel adam, then Bezin may misin esaretzeach besayif. Then the Bezin takes care of it. But it sounds like that the Iker Chiev is on the Goyal Adam. And similarly, the Rambam then writes that in a few halachas later, it's the din of Roydev. But Medar Mamurim, with this whole halacha of killing a murderer, v'sha'ovar v'osa oven shechayim alav mises beizdin. That's when a person committed a chiyuv mises beiz. Aval Roydev acha chaver l'argoy. But if Reuven is running after Shimon, hare kol Yisrael mitzuvin latzil anirdof miyad Roydev. V'afilu b'navshoy shel Roydev. So then everybody has the chiyuv. So it sounds like from Rambam that the Beis Din's din to get rid of the Reitzeach is very similar to the Goyal Adom's din. Maybe secondary goes the Goyal Adom's din and is secondary to the Reitzeach. Is when do we say there's a din of getting rid of Reitzeach if he killed already? You didn't kill already, then everybody should get rid of this person. In other words, the way that Rambam phrased it is that we should really be getting rid of the Reitzeach. If we messed up and didn't get rid of the Reitzeach, then we have to kill the Reitzeach. And when do we have a din of Ritzicha, a din of coming to Bezin, a din of 23? Kisha Avim Yosa. We wouldn't say the halacha that way. We would say there's a parsha of Reidevs, and there's a parsha of Reitzeach, and there's a parsha of Chiyuv Misa. The Rambam says there's a parsha of getting of judging the Reitzeach. Amed varmam vorm, then we take care of Reitzeach, kishavah v'yosa. That's it's too late. But we should really have taken care of it before. So the Iker Din of, that's where the Rambam puts all this in Hilchas Reitzeach Ushmira, that's what's the Lashon. Reitzeach Ushmira's Nefesh. It's all part of the same Din. Based on obligation to watch over us. So it comes, so the Iker Din of getting rid of a Reidev is based in. So when a person is acting as a Reidev, so then anybody can take care of it. But if I don't have, here I have a dormant Reidev. So dormant Reidev is not nitan l'chol echon v'echon. That's what the Tanakam would say. But it's still the din of a Beis Din. Determining, in other words, the way that Rambam would say it, Bamed Dorman Morm, that we killed the Shar Niskal, if we messed up and didn't catch the Shar before he killed. But the Beis Din achrayis to get rid of the animal before it killed. Now the Machlek is Tanakama, and is it a Reidev Ad Kerikach that an individual can take care of it? Or is it a Reidev that require a Beis Din? That's the Lechayim. Go ahead.
That a Reidev for sure would
require
a Beis
Din of 23. No, forget it. A Reidev, an active redifa, anybody can take care of it.
I'm saying, if you want to hold that, you go by Beis Din, you go to Beis Din of 23 for a Rodev. But I'm saying that there's a Mamoncha, so shouldn't it be a Beis Din of 3?
No, because it's Betairas. The only reason I'm taking it out is Betairas Ritzeach. Yeah. There's a Mazaka Ritzeach. The Lord Betairas Ritzeach. Alright, so again. So what we accomplished today is, first of all, we looked at the Mishnah we explained our Mishnah. What's the machlekes Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar? That's number one. Number two, then we put our mission in the context of the Mishnah Sanhedrin. It seems that the Mishnah Sanhedrin is repeating our that what is a machlekes Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar is a machlekes Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish. So Tosfos says no, different machlekes. The machlekes Rabbi Yechon Mishlakish is talking about a chained animal. Our Gemara is talking about an unchained animal. Then Tosfos says, alternatively, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about can a wild animal be trained not to kill? And our Gemara is talking about can a wild animal be trained not to be mazik? Next is we explain that the machlokes that we explained in Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, that is how Rashi explains the machlokes between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Or better yet, according to Rish Lakish, that's how he explains the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Right? The same nekuda of whether a wild animal that seems to be trained and then becomes wild, what just happened? It was never really trained, or new kviyah. So the machlekes that we identified as being the machlekes of Elazar and Chachamim in the context of Hezek, we see that Rashi says the same nusach in the context of Chiyuv Misa, in the second day of Tosfos. So it proves a strong indication, even though Zeb was not so exciting with Kamal and Hezber, but we found it in the Rashi over there. And en route to putting the two Mishnayos together, so we explained a Yesod in Roide for Tzicha, very quickly, the Rambam Shita, in order to answer Yehuda, we explained the Chiddush of the Me'iri and the Yad Ramah of that not having bialus does not mean I don't have responsibility, that spreads to an animal that cannot be domesticated. All right? Okay.